Hundreds of thousands of people may show up to watch the Pope give Mass during his U.S. visit at the end of this month. But will we ever know how many people really came? Carolyn Beeler looked into the history and science of crowd counting.
I bring to you the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let us receive him.
You can't talk about crowd counting controversies without talking about the Million Man March. It was on the National Mall in the fall of 1995.
Probably one of the best that ever was held in Washington, held by black men.
The National Park Service estimated 400,000 marchers were there. The Nation of Islam thought it was as many as 2 million, and they threatened to sue over what they saw as a lowball count fueled by racism. Boston University researchers eventually placed the crowd at 837,000, with a 20% margin of error, and the National Park Service eventually stopped making official estimates. The importance and extreme subjectivity of counting people gathered for an event is something the grandfather of modern crowd counting understood well.
Herbert Jacobs was an old-time newspaper man from Wisconsin.
This is Robert Sanders from the news office at the University of California, Berkeley.
And in the 1960s, he came to Berkeley as a lecturer in journalism. And he got interested in the estimation of crowds because at the time there were demonstrations nearly every day. And the papers like the San Francisco Chronicle and the student paper were publishing crowd estimates that he thought might be overinflated.
So Jacobs looked for a technique to improve these estimates. He noticed that Sproul Plaza, where all these demonstrations were taking place, was neatly divided by lines in the stone paving.
It had a grid pattern, and he thought, well, if I could get an estimate of how many people in one of these squares and multiply by the number of squares, I might be able to get a good estimate of the crowd size.
So Jacobs got the exact dimensions of those squares from plaza blueprints. Then he counted how many people fit in them to arrive at an average square foot per person figure for denser and then also looser crowds.
And then he would calculate the size of the space they were gathered in, divide by the square foot per person, and come up with a good crowd estimate.
The fundamental crowd counting method has remained the same ever since Jacobs' time. Area times density equals attendance. But as technology has gotten better, a desire for more precise measurements has grown. Kurt Westergaard is one of those on the quest for precision. He got into the game of crowd counting in a rather unexpected way.
Somebody called us from Ireland and was trying to set a world record of clog dancing in Galloway.
Westergaard's DC area company, Digital Design and Imaging Service, didn't end up counting those cloggers. But the request did spark his interest in the science of crowd size. He quickly went on to estimate attendance at high-profile events, including dueling Glenn Beck and Stephen Colbert rallies in 2010 for CBS News. Westergaard's team starts any new job by surveying the event location to make a computer model of it. He sees his work not as laying a grid over a flat surface, like Jacobs did, but putting a fishnet on top of a 3D model, digitally, of course.
So, for example, around the Washington Monument, it's a pretty steep hill going up to the top of the monument. So one square might actually be embracing a downhill part where there's going to be more people.
Westergaard's team also scouts areas where people tend to pack together, in the shade, near stages, and on low walls or other natural seating. On a computer in his office, Westergaard pulls up an aerial image of the Benjamin Franklin Parkway in Philadelphia, where Pope Francis will give a Mass during his U.S. visit. Westergaard points to some baseball diamonds that aren't far from where the Pope will speak.
We sense that that is probably going to be the highest densities when you have an open park that gives you both a live view of the stage and at the same time a view of a jumbotron or two.
Once this kind of ground reconnaissance is done, it's time to bring out the cameras.
Well, exactly.
Westergaard and his lead photographer, Ryan Schuler, demonstrated their setup outside their office, climbing into a mobile trailer that holds a small white hot air balloon with a camera array attached.
All right. We usually pull up and start to release the balloon by opening the roof doors.
He lets the balloon out of the top of the trailer and then clips the three camera array onto the bottom. He tests out the cameras, then lifts the balloon through the roof and into the sky. Unlike on a helicopter, Westergaard and Schuller can start taking pictures low, at 10 and 20 feet above ground, so they can capture the people gathered under trees or other cover. Then they lift the balloon higher,
shooting,
taking 360-degree photos hundreds of feet above the crowd. When shooting is done, Schuller pinpoints the moment when the crowd is the biggest and overlays their fishnet grid on that image. Then he calculates how many squares are packed to different densities.
Mob density is roughly front to back and shoulder to shoulder.
Medium density is about a person per square yard. And low density means
one person per 25 square feet. That's a 5x5 square.
Schuller then counts the number of squares in the photo with each of these densities and uses that to estimate attendance. Now, there is one major downside to using this newer, snazzier technology. You have to get permission to fly things over large events. And for the Pope's visit,
the FAA has very clearly said absolutely nothing will be in the air.
So instead of estimating the crowd on the day of the event, Westergaard will be watching it on TV like the rest of us. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.